Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious Grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
Hello to everyone who's listening on SiriusXM On Demand or on the John Fugelsang Podcast or the SiriusXM app. You know, this show has a Facebook page and you guys can like it. It's Tell Me Everything with John Fugelsang on SiriusXM. You can find it wherever you find your Facebook. Please catch that. Also, we have a new video out today. It's deeply offensive. Part of my caffeinated series. It's up on the Political Voices Network YouTube page. It is about Ron DeSantis. I play him horribly, but the wig is excellent. It's a video called Don't Say Gay. It's deeply offensive, and you probably shouldn't watch it. But if you do, please feel free to share it with everyone you know who lives in Florida, because it's exactly the kind of tribute Ron DeSantis deserves. I actually think my impression of him is eerily accurate. Also, tomorrow night's show is going to be really special. We have been celebrating Asian American Pacific Islander Month, and we have had some great guests, but we've also been recording some terrific interviews in advance of a special we're doing tomorrow evening, and it's going to be focused mainly on AAPI Appreciation Month with, you ready for this? George Takei, who was with us a couple of weeks ago and tells his story of being pulled from his home at age 5 and thrown into a American internment concentration camp with his family and other Japanese Americans. Mia Ives-Rubley, who works for Center of American Progress, and she is an activist for both Asian Americans and for disabled Americans. She's got an amazing life story. She was adopted when she was very young by American parents from Korea, and she has become an activist who's very heroic in multiple realms. And we had an amazing conversation about the persistent stereotypes that Asian Americans have to deal with every day, including why the model minority stereotype makes people's lives a lot harder. Also, the noted economist Francis Fukuyama, who wrote the book Liberalism and Its Discontents, one of the smartest guests we have ever had. And I managed, I think, to convince him that I wasn't a complete dope. He followed me on Twitter afterwards, so I feel pretty good about it. And then Panthea Lee, who has the most amazing cover story in the nation this month about violence against Asian women and how it has been an epidemic for a very long time. All four of these interviews will be packaged tomorrow. And after that, a special conversation with one of our favorite friends, the great Kelly Carlin. Have you seen Judd Apatow's beautiful movie about George yet? It's wonderful. It's on HBO right now and HBO Max. I highly recommend it. Kelly's done the show before, but there's never been a Carlin documentary like this, and you're not going to want to miss tomorrow night's show. There was a lot I wanted to talk about tonight, and we're going to get to everything. Ray Liotta and his horrible loss. A lot of folks died today, by the way. I don't know what was going on today, but it was a terrible day. Depeche Mode founding member and keyboard player Andy Fletcher died at age 60. Founding member of yes, Alan White, who played keyboards. He died today as well. Alan White also played on George Harrison's All Things Must Pass album. He played piano on John Lennon's Imagine album. If you listen to the piano part on Instant Karma, that's Alan White. It's a great loss. And of course, I wanted to talk all week. All week I wanted to talk about this commission that's renaming the Confederate bases. And it's the three-month anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. But of course, you guys know there's only one story this week. I want to thank you guys for joining us. Let's do a show. I want to begin by saying, stop calling Ted Cruz a coward. Can we stop that? Okay, I'll tell you why. We're just beginning to get a sense of the horror of this elementary school shooting in Uvalde, Texas, that killed 19 children and two teachers and claimed another life today. And it's coming into greater focus amidst all these revelations about the attack, like that the gunman barricaded himself in a fourth grade classroom where most of the victims died, while all the good guys with guns stayed outside for 40 minutes to an hour, letting the slaughter happen. But let's start with Ted Cruz. He's supposed to appear at the NRA's convention this weekend. And you may have already heard the clip of Ted getting really upset when an actual journalist did something that you never do around Ted Cruz, and that's commit an act of journalism and press him on gun laws and why mass shootings only happen in America. Now, look, if you listen to this channel, you already know what Ted Cruz is. He's what happens when a televangelist fucks the ShamWow guy. That's the unholy spawn of that union. And I apologize for that imagery. But he walked away from a British journalist's questions today, 2 days after this massacre in his own state. He was attending a vigil for the victims of the Robb Elementary School shooting. And then he made the mistake of talking to Sky News reporter Mark Stone, who is, unlike the kind of reporters Ted usually talks to, a reporter. Mark Stone asked him about overhauling gun laws in the U.S., and Ted tried to dismiss it all by saying it's just politics. Well, from there, it got even better. Give a listen. This is A6, Sky News reporter Mark Stone, cock-blocking Ted Cruz's revoltingly fake empathetic press moment and photo op at the over the shooting by asking the kinds of questions that only a foreign correspondent would dare ask.
There are 19 sets of parents who are never going to get to kiss.
Here's the fake Christian part, the platitude.
Is this the moment to reform gun laws?
You know, it's easy to go to politics.
But it's important. It's at the heart of the issue.
I get that that's where the media likes to go.
Well, it's not. It's where many of the people we've talked to here like to go.
The proposals from Democrats and the media, inevitably, when some violent psychopath murders people.
A violent psychopath who's able to get a weapon so easily. 18-year-old with two AR-15s.
If you want to stop violent crime, the proposals the Democrats have, none of them would have stopped this.
But why does this only happen in your country? I really think that's what many people around the world just, they cannot fathom. Why only in America? Why is this American exceptionalism so awful?
You know, I'm sorry you think American exceptionalism is awful.
I think this aspect of it.
You get your political agenda.
No, it's
God love you.
Senator, it's not. I just want to understand why
you do not
think that guns are the problem.
Why is this just an American problem?
Well, it is just an American problem, sir.
Mr. Cruz, why is America the only country that faces this kind of mass shooting?
But you can't answer that. You can't answer that, can you, sir? You can't answer that. Why is this country?
Why is it that people come from all over the world to America? Because it's the freest, most prosperous, safest country on earth.
It may be the freest, it may be the most
popular. Why are our kids dying in
school? And he runs away. So listen, here's the deal. Stop calling Ted a coward. Because we already know he's a coward. Anyone who can spell your correctly knows Ted Cruz is a coward. Look at how he groveled before Donald Trump after Trump insulted his wife. My God, Will Smith? Will Smith smacking Chris Rock? I saw Donald Trump attack Ted Cruz's wife's appearance and Ted smacked himself. We know he's a sycophantic toady. Let's stop calling Raphael a coward, though, and let's start calling U.S. journalists who don't ask basic, simple questions over and over until they get an answer because they're afraid of losing access. Cowards. It's really simple. Here's the question. You ready? Every Republican politician running for office this year needs to be asked. Is Salvador Ramos being able to buy two AR-15s on his 18th birthday acceptable to you? That's it. That's all you got to do. Mitch McConnell has taken $1,267,000 from the NRA. Ron Johnson, $1,269,000. Marsha Blackburn, $1,306,000. Tom Cotton's taken almost $2 million. Rob Portman's taken over $3 million. Joni Ernst has taken $3,124,000 from the NRA. Marco Rubio, $3,303,000. And Mitt Romney, oh, Willard is the champion of them all. Over the course of his career, $13,647,676 the NRA has given to Mitt Romney. Yeah, Mitt, that's how much your soul costs. It's not enough to just be better than Trump. I'm really tired of liberals acting like Mitt Romney is some enlightened, decent Gandhi figure. Ted Cruz has gotten $176,274. From the NRA. You factor in the 4,000 gun deaths, Ted Cruz got $44.06 from the NRA for every gun death in Texas last year. $44.06 Ted Cruz had to not care about a dead Texan. You know, first they came for Ted Cruz. And I said, oh, here, have him. And then they said, oh, wait, we don't want this. And I said, too late, bitches. You're stuck with him. Take him. This is bigger than Ted Cruz, of course. This massacre is the worst school shooting in our country since the massacre at Sandy Hook in Connecticut in 2012. Days after his 18th birthday, this kid had legally bought two AR-15 style rifles and hundreds of rounds of ammo a week before the slaughter. Moms Demand Action held a rally outside the Capitol today. Here's founder Shannon Watts drawing battle lines between gun lobbyists and the passionate parents who will destroy them.
If I've learned anything from the courageous gun violence survivors who show up and do this work every single day, it's this. We will win this fight because parents fighting to keep their kids safe will always out-organize, out-work, and out-vote gun lobby executives fighting for their profits. We will never give up.
Now, in spite of what you hear, Democrats know there's no gun control measures that have a chance in hell of breaking a filibuster in the Senate. They know it. There's nothing they can do. So they tried to do something else, authorizing the government to just investigate domestic terrorism, which the FBI says is a rising threat. The House passed the bill, remember last week, to create domestic terrorism offices across three federal agencies. Democrats said this could be bipartisan. It's a concrete step. It's beyond offering thoughts and prayers to these cities ravaged by mass shootings. And today, the Republicans in the Senate blocked it. It had nothing to do with guns. Nothing to do with guns. But the Republicans said it was too soon to address the recent mass shootings with new legislation. And guys, anytime a Republican says it's too soon, it's always too late. Coward Senator Kevin Cramer said this could lead to targeting of conservatives, and he dismissed the bill as trying to take advantage of people's grief. No restrictions on guns whatsoever. That's how hard it's going to be. That's why nothing's going to happen, guys. Nothing's going to happen until every American knows someone who's been killed violently by guns. That's it. This is normal. It's not going away. It's like having your identity stolen or herpes or Kardashians. It's never going to leave. And now, of course, Texas is finally scrutinizing law enforcement. We'll talk about this tonight. Why was it that it took between 40 minutes to an hour for Border Patrol agents to break into the classroom and kill this 18-year-old while cops with guns stood outside? Children are paying for this mutated concept of gun rights with their lives. And the death toll went up today. 2 days after Irma Garcia was killed in the shooting, she was the teacher. Her husband of 24 years, Joe Garcia, died of a heart attack, or what his family calls a broken heart. He went to his wife's memorial today and suffered the heart attack afterwards. She lost her life. She was 49 years old, and she died defending children from a teen gunman who had a gun because George W. Bush let the assault weapons ban end, who had a gun because Governor Abbott lowered the age of purchase to 18. And she's dead because of those Republicans. She and one other teacher and 19 children. And today, her husband, her high school sweetheart, father of their four children, had a heart attack and died. Four more orphans. Add one more name to the body count. And of course, this is because we live in a country where 41 votes beats 59 votes. That's the Senate. The filibuster allows the losing minority, who represent 40 million fewer Americans, to rule the country. 50 Republican senators blocking Democratic bills that might make fewer Americans die. Republicans are not pro-life. They're not Christian. They're not patriots. They'd rather preserve the flow of NRA donations than close the gun show loophole. So I want to close with this, and then we'll take your calls. Herschel Walker. They asked Herschel Walker today how to stop school shootings. Now, here's the deal. Every time you let Herschel Walker open his mouth, it's revealed that he's a stupid man with head injuries. And he only got the nomination because he is a black man who is a celebrity and Donald Trump picked him. So now he's the Senate GOP nominee in a critical swing state. And Politico ran cover for him so hard. Politico said, this isn't the first time Walker's answers to easy-to-predict questions have sounded a bit garbled and confusing. A bit garbled and confusing? Give a listen.
See, that is a person wielding that weapon. You know, Cain killed Abel. And that's the problem that we have. And I said, what we need to do is look into how we can stop those things. You know, he talked about doing a disinformation. What about getting a department that can look at young men that's looking at women that looking at just social media? What about doing that, looking into things like that, and we can stop that way? But yet they want to just continue to talk about taking away your constitutional rights. And I think there's more things we need to look into. This has been happening for years, and the way we stop it, by putting money into the mental health field, by putting money into other departments rather than departments that want to take away your rights.
A department that can look at young men, that's looking at women, that's looking at social media. This is who's leading Raphael Warnock in the polls. Herschel Walker is making unqualified lying wife beaters with head injuries look bad. And here's the point. Herschel Walker's ex-wife accused him of choking her until she fainted. He held his wife at gunpoint and said, I'm going to blow your fucking brains out. And that's the choice of the good Christian Republicans of Georgia. How about Eric Greitens, former governor of Missouri, now running for Senate? He beat his wife and his three-year-old. His wife said in court, she accused him of knocking her down, taking away her phone and her keys, physically abusing their children, and threatening suicide if she didn't support him during the scandal that led to him resigning as Missouri's governor. He did resign over claims that he brutally sexually assaulted and blackmailed his mistress, who was his hairdresser. And he tied her up, and he took pictures of her, and he threatened that he would reveal the pictures if she ever told anybody. Like even Josh Hawley said at the time, if you hit a woman or a child, you belong in handcuffs, not the U.S. Senate. It's time for Eric Greitens to leave this race. And Greitens asked for a restraining order against Josh Hawley to stop the investigation. Greitens went on to Steve Bannon's show and said his ex-wife had conspired with Rhino Republicans to smear him and that the news story would come out to connect the dots directly to Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell wouldn't comment because if he gets the nomination, this ex-governor who resigned in disgrace for abusing his wife, his children, and his mistress, Mitch McConnell will not criticize him and will endorse him. What about Sean Parnell? Long before Trump endorsed Dr. Oz, Trump endorsed Sean Parnell, a man who said a woman can't be successful or happy without a man. Sean Parnell's wife testified in court that he nearly choked her unconscious, trapped her in the house, wouldn't let her leave, and badly beat his kids. His wife testified that Sean Parnell left marks on his kids, choked her out, tried to force her to have an abortion, and used to write fiction books about beating up women. That's the guy Trump endorsed for Senate before Dr. Oz. How about Max Miller? Trump endorsed him in his Ohio Republican House primary, even though his ex-girlfriend, Stephanie Grisham, who worked in the Trump White House, accused him of physical abuse. She wrote about it in her book. I'll take your questions now. What I saw at the Trump White House. Max Miller sued to try to ban her from talking about it, and the judge slapped it down. Grisham said the president and first lady seemed totally unfazed about whether there was an abuser, another abuser in their workplace. It didn't seem to register on the president's radar screen as a concern. I could go on. Donald Trump abused women. Roy Moore abused women. This Republican Party used to be about family values. What are they now? What are they now? They stand for turning a blind eye to violence against women. Toxic masculinity. Abuse. Violence against women is acceptable in this party. These men are running and winning. So why should we be surprised that massacres of children are acceptable too?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
I'm so happy to welcome Natalia Reagan back to the show. She's an anthropologist, a primatologist, an actor. She's a writer, producer. She's a host. She's a great comic. She's pretty much done everything. You might know her as one of the all-star co-hosts for Neil deGrasse Tyson's Star Talk. And I'm always happy when she's here to talk about her various live gigs and for another installment of Shit You Can't Say. Natalia, welcome
Thank
back.
Thank you. Wow. I'm just going to take you everywhere to gas me up. Thank you for having me back.
It's great to have you back on the show.
You know, things have been good. I'm back in Los Angeles now, which is a big change of pace from all those years in New York. But I mean, it's just wrapping up the semester and trying to, you know, sort of make sense of the world burning here in the United States.
Yeah, I was very curious, you know, as a scientist, as someone who studies primate behavior, what are your insights on what we witness time and time again in our culture versus other cultures? I mean, I would love some anthropological insight as to why we humans keep making the same mistakes and why, even though the majority of us want simple reforms, we can't get it. I mean, it just seems like, what are we doing wrong as monkeys that the other monkeys in the other countries aren't doing?
Well, the thing is, I mean, there's this idea that we're incredibly aggressive and there's a lot of competition within our species, which that can be the case. But at the core of it, we're very cooperative. I mean, look at cities like New York, Los Angeles, Tokyo, you know, high density cities, and we seem to get through life seamlessly well. But there are those moments where we have, you know, extreme aggression. And a lot of it has to do with mental health, but we see mental health throughout the world. So we have to really look at access to things like assault rifles and other weapons that, you know, I had an argument with somebody on Instagram today about whether or not, you know, knife attacks could have the same amount of effect as a gun attack. And it at that point, I was like, I think we're done here. I think we're speaking two different languages. If you think that, you know, a man with a knife wielding a knife could do the same damage.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I think, why I was excited to talk with you about Shit You Can't Say. For those who don't know, Natalia is regularly comes on the show and announces all the shit we're not allowed to say anymore. And I've learned a lot of well-intentioned cultural tropes that we say that usually denigrate indigenous people in this country. Mm-hmm. But you have a special entry tonight that I agree with for more than one reason. Tell us what tonight's Shit You Can't Say Anymore is.
Tonight, Shit You Can't Say is Lone Wolf. Lone wolf is a term it's been used in literary references for centuries. And it's usually, you know, somebody that's kind of gone on their own independent beaten path, you know, almost the loner type. But in recent years, it's been used to describe lone wolf attacks.
Always.
And in fact,
We heard that in Buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Buffalo. I mean, Dylan Roof in Vegas. Vegas was when, you know, the co-founder of Black Lives Matter and Sean King were also calling out the fact that this, you only hear lone wolf essentially with white shooters. You don't hear it with anybody, any people of color or those that might have even ties to Islam.
Really true. Really true.
There, So, and again, it's a misnomer for many reasons. And shit you can't say is not to shame people into, oh, you shouldn't be saying these things. But it's just like, let's look at the history of it and why it's problematic. And so, you know, a lone wolf in the wild, you know, wolves are very social animals. And sometimes one will break off, whether maybe they're having issues with the alpha male and female, because the males and females run the show in the group. And they're a lone wolf. And they're considered, they could be more volatile, they could be sickly, but they're weaker. They're not going to be killing, you don't hear about a wolf, like an actual lone wolf killing 20 people, right? Like that's not going to happen. So it's a misnomer. And it's also really unfair to wolves. Come on. I mean, come
on. Thank you.
Like wolves are big.
Right.
Yeah. Rude. Totally rude. But also, you know, again,
lone wolves don't attack, do they? Lone wolves don't really attack that much. They travel in packs, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. They're pack animals. They can attack, but again, they're, you know, it's kind of like compare a lone wolf, you know, is a knife compared to a pack of wolves is an assault rifle, right? Like you're not going to kill, you're not going to fell 20 humans with a lone wolf, but you might if you got a pack of wolves and you happen to, you know, stumble upon that party, which doesn't sound like a very good party. But you see it with, you know, usually white male shooters get sort of dubbed
always
as this lone wolf.
Always.
Rather than you know, they're never the domestic terrorists. I remember, I think Timothy McVeigh was the first time I heard domestic terrorists applied to a white person. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. Finally calling it what it is. But yeah, it's, you know, you get, it also kind of allows you to romanticize and sort of sympathize with these murderers, with these terrorists, you know, the Stephen Paddock of the Vegas, basically terrorist attack, killed 59 people. And people were remembering him as a quiet man who loved country music. It's like, no, this was a terrorist.
Yeah.
You know,
by the way, didn't love country music at all. It turns out really the worst country music fan in the history of the genre.
Right. I mean, it's just people again. And also another.
But by the way, if I may, even that case was a great misnomer, because at the time everyone said, oh, this was the greatest mass killing in history. And I was like, no, it's the greatest mass killing of white people in history.
Yeah.
Ask an Indian about mass killings. It's a bit worse than the Vegas attack with the AR-15. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's numerous genocides that have been carried out specifically by white people. It's just the white on white crime is just, you know, a mayonnaise on mayonnaise sandwich that they just can't stomach. And, you know, it's something that they don't ever want to accept. But I mean, even the idea of a lone wolf sort of infers the fact that nobody is influencing these murderers and these terrorists as well. You know, when we have the Buffalo Killer basically having a manifesto saying he's a neo-Nazi, which means he's being influenced by a group of individuals.
Thank
so
you.
There's no
That's
such,
my
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
I mean, how can the media call this guy a lone wolf when he was enabled and inspired by so he literally talks about how during the lockdown he went on 4chan and 8chan. He literally cut and pasted huge parts of his manifesto from the New Zealand mass killer. He was enabled to get these weapons because of the NRA and because of right-wing politicians and conservative media figures. It filled his head with the white replacement theory. So where does the lone part come in? He seems like the inevitable wolf from this pack.
Exactly. No, exactly. And again, hate does not develop in a vacuum. You know, we're not born filled with hate. It's something that happens over time. And that's something that we need to address. But hate, when given the option to buy an AR-15 or an AR-15 style assault rifle, is even more dangerous. So again, that's why I'm sick of mental health being used as an excuse for these shootings and these terrorist attacks, because there is mental health illness throughout the world. But when you add that plus, you know, easily readily available assault rifles, you got, you know, a disaster waiting to happen. And you're taking away all accountability.
Are there any other species of primates that do what we do, that just commit mass killing?
I mean, not to disagree. Again, this is one of the things that I really think is important to recognize is, yes, there are those that create maybe engage in sort of aggressive behavior. Chimpanzees are known to do, you know, sort of territorial walks and might kill outsiders. But again, they're not killing 20, you know, a group. They're not creating that's not like wide scale war, you know,
right,
which again is not a lone wolf, you know, but no, there's not one individual. And again, this has to do with the fact that access to a weapon that is specifically created to kill multiple individuals. I mean, that's the thing that I can't believe we're having this. I mean, I can't believe the semantic argument, like who cares about with, I mean, I understand the Second Amendment, but again, it says specifically in the Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia. At a time when assault rifles were just, you know, unimaginable, you know, like a musket that, you know, that imagine if that kid walked in there with a musket. I mean, first of all, you know, the cops wouldn't have been afraid of him and just tackled him right there. And second of all, he wouldn't have been able to get, you know, a few shots off without having, you know, having to do it again and figure it all out.
Exactly. Yeah. They couldn't actually fire off 30 rounds without reloading. Natalia, you're coming to New York to perform.
I am. I'm coming out June 1st at the Bell House. So it's going to be the Story Collider Proton. I keep calling it the Protein Prom.
Right.
Which is a totally different show altogether. It's called the Proton Prom. But yes, it's going to be a storytelling night hosted by Gastor Almonte. There's going to be multiple storytellers and comics there, myself included, and telling stories about how events in our life has been scientific events in our life have inspired our, you know, sort of growth and challenges and things of that sort. Naparna Nancherla will be there. Ken Ono, Nicholas St. Fleur, and myself. So you'll get to hear about me getting hit by a truck. One thing I just wanted to say real quickly is as an anthropologist, also just to give hope, humans are very plastic. We can evolve very quickly. So when we see changes like what happened in Scotland, New Zealand, Japan in 1946, when they, you know, banned weapons there, and Australia, we have seen massive changes and, you know, basically the elimination of gun violence. You know, Japan might see 10 gun deaths a year. I mean, they have a population of 127 million. I mean, come on, you know, so I think we're
but they don't have any they have no mental illness or violent video games in Japan, right? There's none whatsoever.
None. Absolutely not. Yeah. Right. Well,
no,
but American individualism. Yeah, I think Americans just think we're so special that we deserve our guns. But it's if we, you know, we can change. It's possible.
Natalia, it's brilliant to see you. What is the best way for our listeners to follow you and your work?
Okay, you can find me on TikTok at Behold Natalia, also on Instagram, on Twitter at Natalia13Reagan, and come to the Bell House next week. It'll be fun.
I was just there last week. I can't wait for your show. Thank you so much for joining us. Please teach me how to do TikTok, and I will talk to you very soon.
Okay, let's do that. Bye.
Right, take care. Bye-bye. Thanks. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I'm John Fugelsang. Let's get to the phones. Y'all have been very patient. Jeff in Illinois, thank you so much.
Hey, John.
Hello. Hey.
In 1974, I volunteered to go to Vietnam. And because our mission back then was to clean up, pack up, send back equipment, things like that.
Yeah.
If anything was left out in the field, we were going to destroy it or bring it back. And while I was there, I earned a battlefield commission, a combat infantryman's badge.
What happened?
And when we were out in the field, we would sometimes we would encounter what we called at that time the enemy, and all of our battles were close quarter combat where you could sometimes you feel their blood get on you.
Jesus.
And I commanded at that time 69 men. I had a had a platoon of 52 men. And I'm proud to say that every man I commanded in the battlefield did not suffer any physical injuries ever. And didn't know about mental injuries back then.
Of course, of course.
And, yeah. And so what happened was that I resigned my commission in July of 1975. And I've never picked up a weapon since that time. None at all.
Wow. Wow.
And because I know what it is to raise a weapon, discharge it, and watch a man get cut in half. And it haunted me for 7 or 8 years after I came back home. We didn't know what was wrong, you know, and all the VA would do is feed me medicine, feed me drugs. I took 2 fistfuls of drugs twice a day.
God.
And you know, and like you've said, let people see those pictures. And I think that during Vietnam, you know, we were on the news every night. The war was on the news every night, and that's what helped turn people.
That's right.
You know,
that's why. When they had the Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm, they wouldn't let anything be on the news because they remembered.
Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, like when I'm at our terminal, I'm a Teamster truck driver now.
Thank you for your service twice. Then thank you for your service again.
You know, I always hear these guys talk about, oh, they went out and bought this gun, and, you know, nobody will get into my house. And I just look at them, I can say, hey, I can see in your eye, you would never fire that weapon at a person. You don't have the guts. So, just kind of my story. And, you know, I've been through 3 service dogs, and I've learned how to meditate twice a day.
Wow.
And helps keep down my need for PTSD medicine.
What was the reason that you first got a service dog, Jeff?
My PTSD.
Okay, and that was was that through the VA?
No. I work with an organization called Working Dogs for Vets down in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee.
Wow.
And they helped train my first one. This organization has no paid staff. They train dogs for free. They have a great big campus in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. They have housing, or if you have to come, you know, when you come into, you need to come in to train your dog, they help you with a hotel and things like that. We're supported by Brigstone and a bunch of companies down in that area, VF. And I moved to Illinois, so I'm not as I used to. But we've trained many dogs.
I got to say, it sounds like you have really, really done the work. It sounds like you have really made sure that you took care of yourself and that you have been able to, I don't think you can ever eradicate something like PTSD, but it sounds like you have really, really done the work and the therapy to take care of yourself and to help yourself heal. It's so inspiring to hear your story. As horrific as your experience was, you sound like you're very at peace and that you've walked many miles and that you've grown a lot and use this trauma to direct your energy towards helping others heal from theirs.
I'm a good actor. I know the trauma.
Well, that's part of it, right? You fake it till you make it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it.
Knowing when the symptoms are coming on and knowing how to control it. I do a lot of control by meditation. Cause I don't bring my dog. I'm training a new service dog right now. And, he doesn't, I can't, the environment I work in, is not good for an animal.
Of course.
And, yeah. And part of my other, commitment to help people is that, I'm a shop steward here, but, my old local, I was on the executive board. I helped organize 8 different locals, or amalgamated locals, different trucking companies. I helped negotiate 8 different labor contracts.
Wow.
It keeps me. I'm sorry. I start crying all the time.
That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Like, I have nothing but love for your journey. I'm so inspired by everything you're saying here, because look at your whole life. It's all about service. Even when you are sent away to do a job and you're... that you thought you'd be safe in, and this government makes you do these unholy, horrible things that you never should have had to do, and you come back here with all this pain, and what do? You use your energy to give love to other people and to help other people heal. I'm sorry. It's the most noble thing we can do with pain.
And one more thing I like to say is that the children that were killed up in Sandy Hook and Val Verde, more lives were lost then than the lives I took in Vietnam. And I don't understand it. I feel like I'm back on a battlefield sometimes.
Yeah.
I got to go. I'm driving down the road, and it's hard to steer.
I'm really honored you called. Thank you for sharing your story. I know it's not easy. I got nothing but love and respect and admiration for you and your journey. Please call us more often.
How about you, John?
Thank you, Jeff. Happy Memorial Day, and thank you for your service over and over again. Chris, how do I tell dick jokes after a call like that? I'm just so humbled by that man's grace and his kindness and his love and his strength.
Just do what I did and go check out workingdogsforvets.org and see the people that have helped Jeff out and the work that he helps them do.
I'm looking at the site right now. It's pretty amazing. Workingdogsforvets.org. And when you think about it, you normally think, oh, that's for someone who has a disability. And we don't think of PTSD as a disability. We don't think of mental illness as a disability. And it is. And so this is what Memorial Day is all about. Thank you so much, Jeff.